This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Can't stop Pat Smith. He's provided five questions for us. This is Pat Ponders.
I want to know what you're thinking. Tell me what's on your mind.
It's time for Pat Ponders.
Alabama roofing professionals, I hope you were wearing extra clothing if you didn't have the roof insulation that you needed last night. It got darn right chilly. It's not going to be the last chilly night we have here in the state of Alabama or the South. The blow-in insulation service they offer, second to none. Also, the free roof inspections are going to warranty anything they do. Hardworking, honest company. Alabama Roofing Professionals, 205-722-ROOF or alroofpros.com. His lips are moving, but we cannot hear any audio from one Pat Smith. Cole, would you like to come up with a question? I have you now.
You're so happy.
No, he got in. He's in now. You're good.
Yeah,
go ahead.
You're in. You're in.
Okay. All right. Question number one.
Okay.
Man. According to ESPN's playoff predictor, Cincinnati and BYU have the fifth and sixth best chance to make the college football playoff at 33% and 28% respectively. Can you identify a path for either team to potentially make the Final Four?
Okay. Let's start with, I think Cincinnati is a little bit easier.
Yeah.
And you look at, obviously, this game against Temple was canceled, so they've got Tulsa on the 12th. So I would have to see a full grid of teams that... Their conference championship game, I think, is on the 18th. Maybe the 19th. It doesn't really matter. They're obviously going to have to beat Tulsa handily. They're going to have to win that game, win their conference championship game. And then Notre Dame's got to lose their next two. Alabama's got to lose to LSU. Florida's got to lose to A&M's got to lose to Auburn. Florida has to lose to everybody else they play. Ohio State cannot get another game this season. And
this is piling up.
I think that might do it. That might get them in.
And that was Cincinnati. So there's no point in even saying anything about BYU.
No,
right?
See, I think BYU actually is a little bit more interesting, because what I would do is I would tell you that what's today, Wednesday? If they could get a game with Oregon by Saturday, and then on the 19th, maybe go get a game with
USC.
Sure. USC?
Yeah.
Sure.
Throw those two in there. Probably needs to be Washington.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a better football team. And then
maybe
all the other
Chiefs.
Things that I just mentioned also happen, along with Cincinnati losing to Tulsa and
Shut
the American Championship
Mahomes.
Game. Yep. I think that... There's your path.
There's your path.
It's
so
windy.
Basically what you're saying.
It's bumpy. It's long. But you just asked for a path. You didn't say
but there. But there's still a chance. But there's still a chance.
You're saying there's a chance.
A lot of things.
Snowball's chance in hell.
But there's a chance.
There is a chance.
Okay. All right. Question number two. What did you eat as a child so much that now you hate it today?
Man.
Those are still some of the things that...
you still eat, right?
Make me feel wholesome.
That I hate? I don't know if there's anything that I hate.
So there's nothing that your parents made you eat as a child and then as an adult?
Yeah, I wouldn't count that as eating a lot of it. If anything, I would know
some
how
of
to
those
slide
things
around the plate.
They quote-unquote made me eat, made me end up appreciating them and liking those things. Oh, like certain vegetables, you know?
No, we don't know.
No, man.
Why?
From the,
you don't
from
eat
the
vegetables?
Man who does not eat a grain of sugar a month. None of us ate peas and said, oh, man, I'm so glad.
I'm glad I got this hunk of shredded wheat.
I did, man. Black-eyed peas, my grandmother, she'd make them with some fresh cornbread, and she'd take the pot liquor, pour it over the cornbread. Oh, so good.
Seven-year-old me never said, these collard greens. Amazing.
Dude, what's sugar doing on these Frosted Flakes? Just give me cornflakes. Oh, thank you.
I used to pick the raisins out of the Raisin Bran when I go and stay at my uncle's house.
Goodness gracious.
And I'd throw them back, so you really got like 3 scoops of raisins.
With your hands.
Yeah, dirty little hands.
That's gross.
Yeah.
Nobody Especially after the worst thing I've seen yesterday.
See, Pat, for me, the closest would be ham. Because I had ham sandwiches just about every day when I went for lunch. And so I'm okay with it like at Thanksgiving, at Christmas time. But any other time, I don't want ham at all.
Man, I ate a ton of bologna. I'm glad you said that, John. I ate a ton of bologna. Bologna and cheese sandwich, that was like my go-to as a kid.
But now you can't stand it?
No, I can still eat it. I just don't eat near as much of it because I did have so much of it as a kid.
Okay. Question number
Fried
three.
Egg.
On this date in 1975, Archie Griffin wins the Heisman Trophy for the second straight year. He remains to this date the only player to ever win the award twice. Since 1975, can you recall the players that were close in joining Archie Griffin as a two-time winner? Just off the top of your head. Not asking you to
Tebow,
give me the
sure.
year.
Tebow,
okay.
Would be there.
Manziel, mm-hmm. I would say, was in the mix. Reggie Bush, I think, was in the mix to win it twice. I think Baker was in the mix to win it twice. I could be wrong on that one.
Yeah. Tua?
You have to win it once to be in the mix to win it twice.
He was in the mix. Didn't he make it to New York twice? I mean, it's close.
All right, I'm going to give you statistically, based on their vote totals, these are the players since 1975 that came the closest. You had Billy Sims in 1979. He finished second in the 1978. He won it.
Boomer!
Herschel Walker in 1980, he finished third. In 81, he finished second. And then in 82, he won it. So for three consecutive years, Herschel was right there. In 1995, Danny Werfel finished third. And then in 1996, he finished first. Then, of course, Tim Tebow in 2008, he finished in third place by 151 points. And then in 2007, the previous year, he won the whole thing. But how about this? Colt McCoy, he could have won two trophies. He was separated by 310 total points, he could have had the trophy two times. In 2008, he finished second behind Sam Bradford. And in 2009, he finished third behind Toby Gerhart and Mark Ingram at Alabama. But you add those 2 years up.
Was Bradford close to getting it twice?
He was 310 points away from winning two Heisman trophies.
Well, Colt McCoy's entire college career is what ifs, so...
Well, it's actually true.
It's not as many as I would have anticipated.
And that, again, that's based on point totals.
I definitely thought Bradford would have been there twice. But, because he put up...
What about Gordy Lockbaum? You remember him?
I don't. I hadn't seen the tape on old Gordy.
No, he was a Heisman finalist.
I haven't seen the tape.
Sounds like he'd make a different kind of tape.
On Gordy.
Ooh. No, he was a Heisman finalist. Two-way player for Holy Cross.
Did he score a couple touchdowns against Colgate that year? In Lehigh?
Total of 80 yards passing for the season?
Yeah.
Let's see.
All right, next question. All right, yesterday, Dabo Swinney, he said the following, quoting, "The best player in the country is Trevor Lawrence, and he doesn't need to win the Heisman for that to be the case. Most logical people know that," end of quotes. If Trevor Lawrence doesn't bring home this year's trophy, do we get a Dabo meltdown like the Florida State week?
No, because I think he'll understand why it's not happening, and that's going to be because he missed a couple games. You'll get some complaining and politicking, but I think what you'll probably get more of is a shift to being the number one overall pick is actually the true definition of the best player, and he believes Trevor will be the number one overall pick.
Maybe that, Dabo just starts yelling.
He'll move the goalpost on that one.
Dabo just starts yelling at COVID-19. Just takes his anger out on COVID-19.
It's all context, right? What's the context in which you're asking that question? If you're asking which football player has the most upside and the best potential future, it is Trevor Lawrence.
Sure.
I actually do have that much common sense and have not lost that much of my mind. But that does not make him the most outstanding player in college football this season.
Correct. I agree. All right. Fifth and final question. What do these players have in common with Devontae Smith? Santana Moss, Jerome Bettis, Tyrone Wheatley, and Jordan Lynch. What do they all have in common with Devontae Smith?
Under 6'2".
All have...
Again, I'll give you the players. Santana Moss, played at Miami. Jerome Bettis, Notre Dame.
Kind of
Tyrone Wheatley, played at Michigan. Nice. And Jordan Lynch, played at Northern Illinois.
Short for a quarterback. Under 6'2". That's my answer.
They all played... as a Wildcat quarterback in high school.
Okay. Cole, your answer might be correct. I don't have the measurables on them. So technically, your answer...
There were so many ways we could have gone there.
We have Pat to give us questions, not answers.
Feet.
Yeah. He just asked the questions.
Right. Okay. All of those players wore the number 6 in college football. Did you know that there's only 2 players in the National Football League Hall of Fame that wore the number 6? It's just not a number that you get a lot of famous or really good players.
No, Jeremy Johnson.
But all those players that I just mentioned wore number 6 in college football.
Yeah, we think we think 36, right?
That green jersey that they broke out for Notre Dame in the Sugar Bowl, Bettis' last game, he went nuts. That was a good look. It was a really good look. Jerome Bettis gave hope to fat kids everywhere that you could play running back.
He and Craig Hayward.
Craig Williams. There's been a handful of oversized tailbacks over the years that have been fun to watch.
But only 2 are probably right. Probably all of them were under 6'2".
Who is your Mishki Akapatuka?
Tyrone Wheatley.
Ty Wheatley.
Wheatley.
He's kind. I feel like he was kind of an Eddie George-esque tall tailback.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like 6'3".
6 feet tall. Oh. I don't even have to measure Moss. And I think Devonta's 6'1". What do we have him listed at? We'll see. Have him listed at
going through those charts.
6'1".
So do you think they'll get their 6 going into the Hall of Fame? Currently in the NFL?
Baker Mayfield.
Jay Cutler.
No.
Mark Sanchez?
No.
But you're right, it's not a very number.
Or Lawson.
No.
I mean, even if you just think other great college players, there's not a ton of number 6s that come to mind.
A lot of 16s. Scott. A lot of good players that wore 16.
Who's the first 16 in college football that comes to your brain?
That would be one Peyton.
Yeah, Peyton Manning.
Or you could go Damian Craig. That's probably who you think of.
No, I went Manning first, actually.
All right, guys, that's today's Pat Ponders.
Brought to you by our friends at Alabama Roofing Professionals, alroofpros.com, 205-722-ROOF.
This is Three Man Front.